This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Mike Slayman.
On today's show, we're going to focus on care management and how to advocate for a loved one. This is Aging Matters, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care. Our hostess is Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, yes. Good weekend. It was a good weekend and excited to be back on the show.
Yes, yes. The pollen is still a little with us. It's affecting all of us. Hopefully not our guest today. Carla Payne, Certified Care Manager with Aging Care Matters, is with us. So glad you could join us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be part of your program today.
Carla is a tenured guest. This is your second or third time, I think, on the show?
It's my third. Do I get a jacket?
Yes, you do. As soon as I get a jacket, too. we're excited to have you back, Carla. Maybe kick it off. Tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to launch Aging Care Matters.
Oh, my goodness. So I was just like so many of our listeners, the adult daughter trying to take care of my parents from afar. I was living in Philadelphia, and my parents were in Hickory, where I'm from, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare of not knowing what you don't know. I got caught up in a, quote, free service that was going to help me find a placement for my dad, and it was not to come to fruition because they were only referring to places that they had a contract with. And in our situation, it was dire. We had to move quickly, and I had to get in place, and it was a very sad, sad situation in being pushed against the wall to make decisions without professional guidance. And sadly, he passed the next year at age 71, and that was the catalyst. I was back in grad school the next month following his funeral, studying gerontology, and discovered the profession of care management. And I haven't looked back. That was in 2007, wow. And from that point forward, I have become what I needed for myself and my family back then. So a care manager is like the puzzle master to piece together all the different compartmental parts of our healthcare system. It is complicated. It is it's difficult to transition and navigate, and a care manager is like your GPS. We help families through the maze with objective, holistic support, guidance, and coordination. So that's care management in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I wish that everybody knew about it because they don't. They don't know about it, and then they're struggling, and then in a crisis. So
I can speak firsthand on this, Mary, after caring for my dad with dementia. Carla, sometimes this could be overwhelming for caregivers.
It is. In fact, the caregivers are more likely to have a health crisis and perhaps have their life ended sooner than the person who's been diagnosed with the chronic condition or the dementia because of the stress as a caregiver, trying to navigate all of those different situations and scenarios. And it breaks families also financially. The cost just keeps going up. Everything is costing so much more. And a lot of folks think that Medicare or Medicaid is going to pay for those services, not knowing that it won't, or that there's a look back for Medicaid. It's not for everyone. So again, as a care manager, educating, mediating, coordinating, all the aidings, advocating, all of it. So, but it is also private pay. It is something that families have to pay for privately. We're not covered under insurance, except in some long-term care policies. We are able to get reimbursement. That's important to note.
I can imagine a lot of people were in your shoes that you work with every day who are caregiving from a distance. Is that true? Do you have a lot of people who reach out to you in those situations?
I do. I receive calls every day, and many actually are local because if you think about in our situation now, our adult children are the primary folks who reach out and call. They are so busy with their full-time work, with their full-time caregiving for their children, and all the activities that their kids are involved in, all of the different things that are put on our lives in general. And then you add a parent who has a health crisis or an issue, and they can actually live in the same neighborhood, but it's overwhelming. But I do also have clients that live out of the country or across the country or in another state and need the boots on the ground. They want to have someone who's available to go intervene and help when there's a crisis. And that's what we do. We stabilize the crisis and help direct in the next, you know, what the next steps are.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about care managers and the role versus a nurse versus, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of different forms of senior support. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the misconceptions that you hear in your role about aging care or working with mm-hmm. a care manager?
Such a good question. So there are nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, recreational therapists. There are many that are specialized in that particular role, and many of those are either through a prescription that the doctor orders and may or may not be covered under insurance. A care manager is like a private social worker, and if you think about it, there are care managers. I've heard the term at assisted living communities. I've heard the term at hospitals, but they're very specialized in just their caseload. So the hospital care manager or case manager or discharge planner has their caseload, and it changes day to day. Someone who works in an assisted living that's called a care manager, they're only working with those clients that are on their floor and whatever the situation is in the building. But a private care manager, such as Aging Care Matters, is one of many that are out there. And I do definitely want to refer to the Aging Life Care Association, that's ALCA, to find a care manager anywhere in the country and beyond the country. If you just put in the zip code or the address, there are many of us out there. We work for the client wherever they are and wherever they go. So it may be that they're in their home and they might need us when they do the placement into assisted living or memory care. We're still there for them. Then if they should go and need support in hospice, we are part of that transition and helping them to connect with you all, actually. And then even after, if they have to deal with logistics with the estate, we're here to help the family throughout the journey. And that's what's different from other patient advocates or different folks that have their piece of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I want to touch on something you just mentioned there. Care management also follows after the death of a loved mm-hmm. one, it sounds like. There are things that you can help the family continue to do following that.
Yes, yes. In fact, there are often times that we've helped through the process, and if there's questions, because there's a lot of stress and emotion when you're dealing with an estate and probate and all those things. We are not lawyers, but we understand the system and can help direct and give them guidance and support through all those steps. And then to continue to be a support for them with the grief process, just as hospice does. I think y'all do a phenomenal job, what Transitions does, with the follow-up. It's not that it's over when the person mm-hmm. passes. There's still that emotional processing and grief, and you check in, and we do that as well. We stay connected. Once part of the family, always part of the family. Uh-huh. And I've actually extended my family. I am now doing adult daycare, which is brand new for Aging Care Matters. We're only 2 years out now that we've had our first adult daycare in Wake Forest, and we now have two in Durham. So that's just another service to help families have a respite, have a break that they can afford, and their loved one be taken care of during the day.
That's wonderful. How long are you typically with a family or helping a family? What is an average time that you're working with someone through this process?
I would say, that's such a good question again. You're an excellent interviewer. I would say most of our cases are probably within 6 months. So my goal is not necessarily to, I want to work myself out of a job. I want to help stabilize and give families what they need in that direction. Mm-hmm. And then they can always tap me back in if they need me at another stage in their journey. So I'm not looking for a contract where I have to be checking on you every month for the rest of your life. It truly is, I'm here as you need and when you need that guidance. And I have had some clients for years and some clients for just a few weeks. And I also do consultations where families just need a little coaching. They may just want to have a chance to have the siblings together, and we kind of help be a referee, a mediator for the family to talk through some of those difficult conversations. And that might be all that they need.
Is there such thing as having a care manager involved too early?
No.
But too late, maybe?
No. Well, yes, sadly, I will say most of my calls are at the 12th hour in a crisis. But again, that's my calling, is to help families wherever they are. But I love when families are planning ahead. So I appreciate that as well. So it's a matter of educating folks that this is something that's out there for you, and to start the conversation early, make sure you got all your ducks in a row, and then you know you have those resources when that time comes.
Up next, let's talk about how caretakers can get the answers they need when they need it. This is Aging Matters on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. News, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. With your host, Mary Lucas and Mike Slayman.
Welcome back to Aging Matters. We're speaking with Carla Payne today, a certified care manager with Aging Care Matters. In our last segment, I got the impression that you can get answers that often family members can't.
I think a lot of the times the setting and where you come in is critical in that piece. And can you talk to us about a typical scenario where someone would involve you or your team or reach out to you all to help get questions answered?
I'm going to give you three short scenarios. I have one new client. The couple in their 80s live in Raleigh, and their daughter lives in another state. And she's an only child, and she's worried about her parents. She wants them to move to be near her. They do not. They want to remain in their home that they've lived in over 50 years. And yet, if there's something that happens, there's no one locally that would be able to be that surrogate daughter. So that case, the daughter reached out and said, I want this for my peace of mind. And her parents are like, we're doing this for her peace of mind. So it's an appreciation for that. And I do a free consultation. And then we assign one of our care managers that lives to the closest in the vicinity to the client. And she went and met with the couple and gained an assessment of their background, their preferences, their medical history, to be aware so that we'll have a plan in place. We will be able to then recommend the different services to help them stay in home as long as possible, if not the duration of their lives. So we know which home care companies we would invite in to meet with the family, or services for nutrition. Chef for Seniors is a great one. Or have those conversations about palliative care or hospice care. And one of my favorite things, though, is demystifying what hospice is about. Everyone is so afraid. Mm-hmm. And I love educating folks on the beauty and the benefit of that care. And I've had clients on hospice for years. Mm-hmm. It's not always like that's the end. Mm-hmm. Another scenario would be a family that calls that they're in the hospital and the discharge planner has just given them a 4-page document of all the rehab facilities, and they've marched through about 5 of them that don't take their insurance, and they say, where do you want your loved one to go? How do you know? How do you know which one to choose and what's the right one, and you don't have the time to go and meet with and investigate? So that's another scenario. We do know. We do know what's happening in the rehab facilities and the transitions and the things that are taking place. And then a third case scenario would be a family that looks at changes in their parent. We know something's happening with mom, but she will not go to the doctor. She will not accept any services. She won't even listen to us. And it's amazing when you have an objective outside person bring up the same conversation that the adult children are. Mm-hmm. They'll listen. It's amazing. And so oftentimes we are talking to the parent and saying the same things that the adult children have tried to intervene with, and we say it and they're accepting it. They're accepting, yes, I do need to have some services to be brought in. I do need to say yes to getting some help. So that's just three quick examples.
It's interesting. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day who's going through that situation, your third example there. And as the adult child, she is having to navigate with her parents, and her dad is ill, and the mom is denying all help coming in the house, does not want any help, and whether that's cooking meals or doing laundry or even sitting with their loved one, does not want help, does not want anyone in the home. And the daughter is trying to explain to her that it is not possible for that to happen anymore, and you have to have someone come in and help, and she is just really unwilling, and the daughter's also out of town, and that is so stressful on her. I know it, and so it's great to know. I think in that situation, it can be really beneficial to have a third party come in.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, Mary? There are times that I've had clients and I have to help coach the adult children or the spouse. If they're pushing back, unless you want to fight the battle and see if and deem them incompetent, which oftentimes you can't, that whole scenario, then it's a matter of educating and coaching the children. You have to let go, and it's going to break. Something's going to happen, but we're here to help you when that happens. So it's okay to say, all right, I'm going to step back, but you're going to fall or something's going to happen. And that's, again, where I can intervene and help, because you cannot force someone to accept that help if they won't. So to say it's okay to let go, but know that we're right here. We're right here to try to help you when the bow breaks.
That's interesting. So I want to touch on the whole, as I kind of go up a little bit and think about the whole healthcare system and looking back at everything, what role does a care manager play in coordinating with all the other pieces of the healthcare system? Mm-hmm. You've mentioned rehab facilities, housing, doctors. How do you, you know, I see this as like a kind of a pilot in how you manage the system and advocate for yourself. Can you talk to a little bit about how you work with the others? Because, you know, a lot of a big myth about hospice is, you know, I won't be able to see my cardiologist anymore. And you can. I think that there's a lot of things that people don't understand. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I love analogies, as you can tell. I use analogies a lot. So I see a care manager as the center of the wheel. And all the different spokes are all the different specialties. They're all the different services. So the cardiologist, the physical therapist, the hospital, the assisted living, all of those pieces are, that's their little piece of the puzzle, but the care manager in the center keeps the wheel moving in the right direction. So it's communicating, like, it's amazing. I'm not a nurse, but I have found so many errors in things because I'm looking at it objectively from the top down, like looking at what are these medications, what's happening, because they don't communicate with one another. And you could have side effects, and then somebody gives you a prescription for that side effect, which is creating another problem. And then, again, going back to hospice, educating. I bring up the conversation about hospice in pretty much every single case I work with, because we need to talk about it. It's like a bad word. It's not. It is part of our living is dying, and so it's something to talk about. Those services, which are so beautifully supported through our Medicare system and insurance, if you're eligible, why would you not welcome that team of support? And that you do still have your voice, you do still have what you what your wishes are. It's just, again, stopping all that repetitive emergency room, and it's so. I believe that having that central person who's objective to all the different pieces is helpful, because I'm not leaning towards one. I'm in the middle trying to help families know of all of them, all of the services, all the supports. So
that's really helpful. When you are working with someone and they're going to meet with a facility, or they're going to tour a facility or meet with a new provider of some sort, any advice that you give people on what they should be asking, or do you help walk them through that process? You know, my dad, he went and looked at family care homes when my grandmother, my grandfather was still alive, and he was like, Mary, what do I ask? What do I, how do we navigate this? What should I be looking for? And I think a lot of people are in that situation.
Oh, absolutely. I do have a list that I share, a list of questions. I also partner with a lot of placement companies. There are several in the area. Always Best Care, Care Patrol, All About Seniors. These are great partners that I personally know them. I know them, I trust them, and I know when they're doing the tours that they are the experts to help the families get in and see everything. Now, they're compensated once the family decides on the location, but they're not narrowing those choices because of who's giving them that referral fee. And that's the difference between some of the national companies that are placement services that narrow those choices. So that's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother, that's a good storyline to have another interview. But there are lists of questions, or I'll go with them as well, or one of my care managers, and ask those questions. And what to look at. Because I got to tell you, the facilities are beautiful. So many of them, I mean, literally, I would love to live there myself. They're so gorgeous. It's not about how it looks. It's about how are you being cared for? How long have the staff worked there? How long are their shifts? What is their ratio? go at an unannounced time. That's one of my big tips, is a lot of families will go visit mom on Saturdays at 2. No, go at 8 a.m. on Tuesday. Go at 9 p.m. on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Go at these odd times and visit your loved one, because there's a lot of differences that happen at the different shifts. So that's one of the big things as well.
So when do you start the process of becoming a caregiver for someone? We'll set the timeline for that next. Keep it here. This is Aging Matters on WPTF. FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. News, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters. Care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one, with Mary Lucas and Mike Slayman. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
We're back here on Aging Matters. We're talking to Carla Payne. And, you know, Carla, it's really when you should start this process and how to do it. Right, Mary?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that for someone who is new in the process, and it can be incredibly overwhelming on how to manage these things, and you don't want to do it in an emergency. You don't want to be sitting in the emergency room or in the hospital trying to figure this out. I think it's important to start early, too. But for someone who is just starting to navigate this process, Carla, whether it's the aging process for themselves or a parent, you know, I know my parents stress out a lot about not wanting to leave anything for us to be worried about, you know. My mom is far from that place, but she already is thinking about how to plan. For someone who's just starting the process, what's your first piece of advice?
I would say getting your documents in order, getting those documents in order. And that includes if you have an 18-year-old. When my daughter turned 18, I took her to the attorney, and she created her power of attorney, her health care power of attorney, and her advance directives.
Wow.
We all need those documents from the age of 18 on. And then you look at those. You don't let it just go, put it in a file cabinet and forget about it. You should reassess it each time there's any type of major change in your life, with a marriage, a divorce, a death in the family. Also looking at who you name. You don't just name one person. I've had a lot of couples who name each other, and then one of the spouses will become with dementia, will be diagnosed with dementia, and they don't have a second person in line. So it's good to have those. That's number one. Get your legal documents in order, number one. And I also ask for my clients, is there any type of veteran connection or long-term care insurance? Because if they're a veteran or the spouse of a veteran, they may be entitled to what's called aid in attendance, and that's something that could help with the cost of long-term care. And if they have a long-term care policy, where is it? Let's read it. Let's look at what it says. And many of the policies actually reimburse for professional care management services. There's a one-time reimbursement to create a care plan by a licensed clinical social worker or a certified care manager like me. And people don't know that that's something that's available to them. They also need to know, what are their elimination days? How many days do they have to pay out of pocket before the policy isn't activated? And I have so many clients who don't even open it up and look at it until their loved one is very ill and in a rehab facility. And then they're like, now can we start? Well, you have 180 days you have to work through and pay out of pocket before the policy. Yeah. So those are my big things, your legal documents, long-term care insurance, and are there any veteran connection?
The aid in attendance is such an important piece. I think so many people who are veterans do not know about. I know that my grandfather did not know until he moved into an independent living facility here in the area. And he was speaking with another gentleman who lived at the facility as well. And he said, yeah, you're a veteran. You should be getting this. And my dad was like, what? I've never heard of this before. And the paperwork can be a little bit challenging.
Yeah.
But there's people that can help, maybe, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. There are wonderful services out there, and the Veterans Administration themselves, they should be able to assist. But again, that's where I might be able to help give them some guidance to know what to ask before they go. and start that process. But yeah, mm-hmm. we need to tell everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it was also interesting that it not only benefited him, it also benefited my grandmother. And the payouts they were getting every month were extremely helpful for helping pay for where they live and the care that they were getting at the independent living facility. And I think it really helped them be able to stay there a little bit longer and not worry so much. And same with my parents, my dad and his brothers. I think that they were very thankful for that. So
I'll tell you another quick tip about the aid in attendance. When you start the request and you submit, I want to open a case to review, even if it takes 9 months for it to go through, it's retro back to the day you got the case opened. Mm-hmm. So I've had clients who got a lump sum, which was a tremendous help in that moment of time. So it's when you open the case, if you're approved, it goes back to that original date.
Which is awesome to get a lump sum right then. I want to touch on caregiver burnout too. How have you helped families or caregivers be a strong advocate for their loved ones, but without hitting that point of being overwhelmed? Because I think it's so easy a line to cross, being a strong advocate and then being so overwhelmed that you're actually maybe making it harder.
That, again, such a good question and not a good answer, because I think that all caregivers, if they are, I mean, you're going to have some burnout. You're going to have depression. You're going to have trouble thinking clearly. I have many clients, the caregiver think that they have dementia because they're very concerned about their processing of thought, but it's because of that prolonged level of stress and being in that fight or flight mode because you're having to be on alert. The loved one may have their hours of sleep disrupted. They may have behavioral issues. They may have a risk of wandering out of the home. So the caregiver is always on alert. That's going to have its consequences. Mm-hmm. So I try to encourage counseling, self-care through, you know, acupuncture, massage therapy, trying to take a break and have some time away, support groups, all of those pieces. But it's not going to change what they're dealing with, but it may help them stay the marathon longer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Are there things that you see in people who kind of trigger you to think, oh, this looks like caregiver burnout, even though someone may not recognize it in themselves and help you, that may help you, you know, navigate that situation a little bit differently?
I think most everyone that comes in front of me is dealing with some level of caregiver burnout. And sometimes it's the struggle of making a decision. Mm-hmm. And that's where, again, as a care manager, I have to allow them to not make a decision. That I can't. And that's taken me years. I mean, believe me, I've been doing this, 17 years?
Wow.
When I first started, I was like carrying their burden for them, trying to, you know, and I can't. This is their journey, and I can give them the resources and the education and the support, but they have to make that decision when they're ready to accept the help.
Yeah, my situation was kind of like a tag team. I'm fortunate to have a lot of brothers and sisters, but my brother is over in Japan. He can't help out, so it was about four of us trying to take on that burden, and each one came in and says, all right, it's all yours. It would be nice to have someone like you to kind of tell people exactly what their role is.
And a lot of times you're very blessed to have the siblings that are helpful. Oftentimes it tends to be one that takes the lead and the bulk of the responsibility. And it does tend to oftentimes be the adult daughter or the daughter-in-law. I think that's kind of part of our nature as women to take on that caregiving role. Not to say that I've had phenomenal husbands and sons galore, but we do have to all talk through, like, what can we do as a family to share this? Mm-hmm. Because again, this is not a short-term situation. There's a short-term crisis, but it is a long-term of a journey that is not sustainable for one person to carry the load.
You know, I think about my dad's situation and what he went through with his brothers, and I want to highlight here that not everybody is in a place to be the that caregiver that's there all the time, but there are other roles for people that want to help but are, you know, hesitant to do that everyday kind of role. But there's plenty of ways that people can help if you ask them. And you, I think it was really important for our family and for him to ask for help. And that could be anything from like, hey, could you go to the pharmacy and get this medicine? That would be so helpful for me and saves me a trip. Or, hey, I can you give him a call and talk to him? And, you know, I think there was an isolation piece in there with my grandfather. It was in the middle of COVID, which made everything harder. And so I want to just put that out there that everybody has a role, and what that role looks like will differ from person to person, but it all is contributing to the caregiving journey.
It is. Excellent point.
We have one more segment coming up on the special show on care management with Carla. This is Aging Matters on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com with your host, Mary Lucas and Mike Slayman.
We're back with Carla Payne, a certified care manager with Aging Care Matters. And Carla, another thing you're involved in are adult daycare centers. What is their purpose?
That's a good question.
Adult daycare is almost like if you imagine going into a living room where you can be around friends and socialization in a happy environment. So imagine that for your loved one who might have dementia, depression, anxiety, past strokes, Parkinson's. It's a space, I call it the club. It's a place to come together, make friendships, companionship, and caregivers can then go take care of their errands and their appointments and their time for respite. It's been around a long time, but I think it's now growing even further because this is now my newest passion, I have to say. And I actually have three, never thought that would happen, but I actually walked into one for a care management client years ago, before COVID, and I was a little disappointed in what I saw. It didn't feel like I wanted it to feel, what my impression was, so I got the fire in me, and I started researching how to open an adult day. And then COVID happened, and I was able to get a small business loan during that horrific time around our world. I was able to get a great loan that gave me the seed money to see my vision through. And I opened Wake Forest Adult Day Center 2 years ago, March. Actually, was our anniversary.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. And then in June last year, coming up on my one-year anniversary, I opened one in South Point, Durham. And then just in March, which is ironic because it was March 2 years ago, March this past, March 19th, I actually purchased Golden Horizons, which is a second adult day that's in Durham right near Duke Hospital. So it is a space, again, where people can come together and know that there are caregivers that are overseeing their care during the day, Monday through Friday, and the spouses, adult children, can go to work, can go do what they need to do at a fraction of what it costs to bring in a home care in the home.
That's a great alternative. Can you explain who they are best suited for? You mentioned someone living with dementia, but is there people that you're like, you're too young,
Well, for me, I'm under the Adult Day Center program, which my age is 60, 60 and above. I will say that if I can make an exception, if there's someone in their 50s who might have an early diagnosis, and I don't have a medical model. My program is a social model. So I don't have a nurse on staff, so we're not dealing with some of those comorbidities that need a nurse. So there are no insulin shots that are given. It's a center. There are not, in this particular setting, I don't have a wheelchair that I can transfer a person in the restroom. So my folks come in and are able to go to the restroom on their own. Of course, we may do some directing, redirecting assistance, but not the hands-on. But it's an alternative for folks before they need to go to the next level of care. And I love it because, again, you're creating that community. And the cost is so reasonable. It's like $10 an hour versus a home care might be $30 to $35 an hour. Mm-hmm. And you're with more of a peer group and more of a social setting.
That's wonderful. So how does the model work? Can you pay for a half day or is it always the full day and your hours?
Yeah.
Can you remind everyone of your hours again as well?
Sure, sure. And I am one of many adult day centers in Wake and Durham County. So I encourage folks, if they want a full list, I can email them a list of all, because there are many of us out there. We're all very similar because we have to follow the state certification requirements, so that is across the board. But you might see a little bit of differences in pricing, and some of them do have a nurse on staff. I'm working towards that, I'll tell you that. I am open in all three locations, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. I charge $112 a day, which is, what, $11 an hour if you're there the whole day, for the first day or 2 days. If you come three or more, I reduce the price to $100 a day. So if someone comes one day, it's $112. If they come three, it's $100 per day. So you're saving the more days you come, mm-hmm. reduces the cost. Mm-hmm. And with that includes beverages. We offer decaf coffee and tea in the morning for our coffee talk. We have healthy snacks. We have a hot lunch that is during the day, in the middle of the day, and then a snack in the afternoon. So that's pretty much also across the board that you'll see at other day centers.
I'd imagine there's some fun activities that happen at your adult daycare centers.
Yes, we have so much fun. It's a social setting. So there's a lot of conversation, trivia, different types of games. Of course, bingo's a favorite, I have to say. I think that's something culturally across the board. Everybody loves bingo. We'll have guests that come in. We had a pet come in this morning, the cutest poodle Bernese puppy mm-hmm. I've ever seen in my entire life. They came in today in Wake Forest. We do exercise, chair exercise, yoga, chair exercises, hand exercises. We go for walks. We'll sit outside when the weather's good and play cornhole. Art, music is always playing, always. Mm-hmm. And I personally love student interns. So at each of my day centers, I have a relationship right now with NC State, and I'll have undergraduate and graduate students who will be doing their internships with us. And that's fantastic. In fact, one of them I just hired.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know.
In the work that you do with the adult day programs and also care management, have you mm-hmm. seen benefits of people coming to adult day programs,
yes.
Both for the individual attending and the caregiver at home?
Yes. And again, for myself, this has only been 2 years. And I know this is my calling. This is the next chapter of my life, is adult day centers, because I am seeing folks that have been homebound and come into an adult day program and find love and joy and communication and stimulation. It doesn't, you know, it's not forever. I look at it kind of like a waiting room. So it's a transition time, but I'm able to help the family and the individual get ready for that next step. So two of my folks just, in fact, moved into memory care, and they were roommates, which is kind of cool because mm-hmm. they met through the day program.
Aww.
But it was a matter of getting them used to other people being in their routine and being away from their spouse so that it would make it a smoother transition into the next step of care.
Wow, that is a really good point. And I keep talking about my grandpa on this one, but when it was time for them to move out of their house, which they had lived in for many years, and my dad and his brothers were like, you're going to have to move. You can't live here mm-hmm. anymore. They went kicking and screaming. It
yes.
was not an easy transition. I will never forget the amount of times we had to, that everyone was over there trying to clean out the house.
Yes.
And my grandma would sit in a lawn chair in the garage and watch yes. everything that left the door and said, "Where are you taking that?" And it was so painful.
Heart-wrenching.
Yes, and then they got to the independent living, and she declined so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
She did not
mm-hmm.
want to go to anything, and no activities. She didn't want to attend lunch, mm-hmm. dinner. She didn't want to talk to anybody. She didn't want to leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful. That's such a good bridge to
it is,
moving into that.
It's not for everyone. I have had a couple folks that I was not able to have remain because they were, like, one just recently, sadly, left, and we couldn't, like, we had to chase him. He was so fast. and and he wouldn't redirect. You know, it's really challenging. And that, to me, is sad, because had I gotten him 6 months ago, mm-hmm. I could have then built that bridge of awareness and routine mm-hmm. where we could have done something. But it's like they waited too long to then introduce him to other people. Mm-hmm. So for me, adult day is the sooner the better, and you'll save money in the end. And long-term care insurance actually will reimburse for adult day centers. Oh. So that's another benefit, because that's a great way to use up those elimination days. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, you got to do 180 days, either adult day or home care or in a facility. This is the least expensive, for sure.
Wow, that's I didn't know that. That's what a mm-hmm. good benefit. Mm-hmm. One last thing. We have 1 minute left here. What is the one thing that you wish every family knew before they started their journey as a caregiver?
Nothing like a great question like that, and then coming down to the last few seconds. I would say that there are resources out there that are people who are compassionate and are doing this for the right reasons, and a care manager is the first one I would start with. And you can find a wonderful one through the Aging Life Care Association. I am a past member. I finished my role as the Southeast Chapter President, but I have left that association, so I'm focusing towards the adult day. But without question, shoulda, woulda, coulda, that's what I would have wanted.
Well, thank you so much, Carla. Listen, if you missed any portion of today's show, or you want to share it with a family member or a friend in need, go to WPTF.com. And under the show tab, you'll find Mary's smiling face and all the Aging Matters podcast on demand. You'll also find us wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much, Carla, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Carla Payne, Certified Care Manager with Aging Care Matters. You can find them online simply at agingcarematters.com. Until next Saturday, this is Aging Matters. For Mary Lucas, I'm Mike Slayman, and this has been Aging Matters, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.